West Coast College Training, July 11 through 17, 2011, Occidental, California. Title, A Man of God. Evening Session, Message 2, A Vessel Unto Honor. Scripture Reading, 2 Timothy 2:19 through 22, 3:17, and 1 Thessalonians 4:3 through 4.
Hallelujah, we're pressing on! Well, we come, brothers and sisters, we're having a little change, and just hope you can keep up with what we're doing. I don't know if it's been announced, but I was going to be sharing tonight in tonight's meeting, but we moved tonight to this morning. And so there'll be more testing tonight, and we'll be covering one of the morning meetings tonight. And it's my fault because of a schedule problem, so I wasn't able to be here tonight. Anyway, so if you can get the point, we're now on message 2 of a man of God.
Amen.
Of the evening messages. Last night was our initial word on a man of God, and now we want to come to this matter of a man of God, a vessel unto honor. I wasn't thinking of it, but when you were singing hymn 1178, the words just reminded me right away, again, of course, that song is filled with this matter of being a vessel. And Christ would be our content. Anyway, while you were singing, I was thinking of a verse that's, I don't think it's on the outline, but 2 Corinthians 4:7. What does that say? But we have this treasure.
Amen.
In earthen vessels.
Amen.
That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. But we have this treasure.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah, we have this treasure.
Amen.
In earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. This is a wonderful matter, brothers and sisters. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And I believe that it goes along with the title, although it's not brought out in the outline, A Vessel Unto Honor. A vessel unto honor. Either we're a vessel unto dishonor or a vessel unto honor. And I was just considering that verse again, 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We believers are not just instruments. We are vessels. We are vessels to contain and to be constituted with and filled with and to express the wonderful, all-inclusive Christ to be the body of Christ. And I love this phrase, a vessel unto honor. So you put that together with 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. What I was touched with is the only honorable one in the entire universe is Jesus Christ. So as a vessel, we need to be filled with Christ and Christ alone. A vessel unto honor. There are many other aspects to the definition of a vessel unto honor. But I was just appreciating when you were singing that song that we are vessels. We are vessels, earthen vessels filled up with Christ as the unique content. And He alone, He and He alone is the honorable one. But we have this treasure, the honorable Jesus Christ in earthen vessels. So, in a sense, brothers and sisters, to be a vessel unto honor is to be a vessel filled with the honorable Jesus Christ. filled with nothing else. Everybody that wants to be a vessel unto honor, say amen.
Amen.
The key is that 24/7 we would have only one burden, and that is to be filled with the unique, honorable God-man, Jesus Christ. To be filled with the man of God. He is the man. He's the boy.
Amen.
At age 12. But he's the man. The God-man. God and man completely mingled, united, incorporated. A man occupied with God, possessed by God. Everything about this man expresses God. And thank the Lord, he's become the life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
So that we could have this treasure in these earthen vessels. Well, we'll touch this principle a little bit more as we go, but the three Roman numerals, brothers and sisters, are all verses. So we'll just stick mainly with these verses for right now. Let's read Roman numeral 1 together with a strong spirit. But in a great house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also wooden and earthen. Amen. So, a great house is not a positive phrase. It's not a positive phrase. In letter A, when in that Roman numeral with that verse from 2 Timothy 2:20, the main thing to see is that in a great house, there are not only vessels, gold and silver, but wooden and earthen, some to honor, some to dishonor, indicating it's a big mixture. It's a big mixture. Letter A is a great help to open this matter up in a good way. The house of God defined in 1 Timothy 3:15 and 16 is the genuine church. In its divine nature and essential character as the foundation of the truth. Whereas the great house here refers to the deteriorated church in its mixed character as illustrated by the abnormally big tree in Matthew 13. I want to read to you Matthew 13, because these verses are very impressive. The Lord is making a point here. 31 and 32. Another parable he set before them, saying, the kingdom of the heavens is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. That's good. And which is smaller than all the seeds. The smallness is the characteristic. But something happened. When it has grown, it's greater than the herbs and becomes a tree so that the birds of heaven come and roost in its branches. Indicating that something which should be small has become something great and has become a mixture with all kinds of things dwelling in it. And brothers and sisters, this is a picture of the deteriorated church. I like these two phrases in that sentence, letter A. Genuine church and deteriorated church. Now, number one, in the genuine church, as the house of the living God, the great mystery of godliness, there are only gold and silver vessels that are unto honor. What's the difference between the genuine church and the deteriorated church? Is a great mixture. A mixture of all kinds of vessels so that you do not know what's what, and the Lord has no testimony. But rather, Satan has a testimony. Number two, in the abnormal Christianity as the great house. Brothers and sisters, all Christians, we love every Christian there is. But what's developed over the centuries is what's called anity, a system, anity, Christianity. The anity is something that has developed from something pure, small, into a mixture. Because it's unbelievable what is under the category of Christian these days. Under the term Christianity, everything, even many things that are absolute, even against Christ, are under that definition, under that word. So it's become a great house full of mixture. I grew up, before I came into the church life, I grew up in that mixture. There are many dear believers there, not knowing what's what. And I grew up in that situation, but I didn't realize there was such a mixture. And so it's easy to fall into that mixture, and easy to become a vessel, not unto honor, but unto dishonor. A vessel that is more concerned about the vessel than about the content. And is more occupied with the vessel rather than the genuine, rich content, which is Christ Himself. To tell you the truth, when I grew up as a Christian, I did not know I was a vessel. I only thought I was an instrument. Although I had received Jesus into me as my Savior, I did not realize that I was a vessel to be filled with honorable Jesus. So although I had Jesus, I was also filled with many other things and not giving ground to the Lord, because of lack of revelation. Well, honorable vessels are of both the divine nature, gold, and the redeemed and regenerated human nature, silver. So you have gold and silver. These, like Timothy and other genuine believers, constitute the sure foundation to hold the truth. Now, C, dishonorable vessels are of the fallen human nature, wood and earth. These, like Hymenaeus, Philetus, and other false believers, advance to ungodliness and have deviated from the truth. Anyway, brothers and sisters, it's very easy, if we're not careful, if we don't have a revelation, to fall into a mixture that belongs to the great house. And the Lord's wanting us to be one with Him for His testimony in a pure way to take care of the genuine church. And to take care of the genuine church, we need to be a vessel unto honor. And our burden is that everybody we're connected to would be a vessel unto honor. A vessel of gold, a vessel containing the silver. A silver vessel and a golden vessel. Redeemed by Christ and constituted with our wonderful all-inclusive God, our triune God. So, brothers and sisters, there's a great mixture. That's the problem. And I just thank the Lord for His mercy to me, because I just was drifting and didn't realize I was caught in this mixture. Let me illustrate. Gradually, I began to realize that because there was a lack of truth and there was a lack of the speaking and ministry of Christ Himself as the Honorable One, there was an emphasis on the development and the building up of the natural man. Of the natural man. And a promoting of the natural man. who's a fallen man, rather than the promoting and the exalting and the enjoying of the honorable man, Jesus.
Amen.
So what happens is you just become more and more a mixture. Sometimes congregations would go down in number. So what they would pick up was modern means, such as rock music, to get more people back, to bring in the realm of entertainment. But eventually, what happens is the house gets filled with wooden and earthen vessels. And there's a great mixture, and there's no testimony. And the appetite for God's Word goes down. But the desire for mixture goes up. And this is what happens. So eventually you promote the natural man. But the natural man is not a vessel unto honor. When I was at the University of Pittsburgh, I was newly saved, and it was a wonderful time. We had, and you know, we would have some, eventually, we would have some famous people come to speak to some of the Christians. Some of us were there as a Christian group, and we would have famous people. But eventually, what was promoted was the fame of the person more than the Christ they contained. And this is very misleading. And eventually, who stood out? The famous person, but not Christ Himself as the genuine, honorable one. This is very subtle. And I myself realized, be careful, man. Be careful, man, that no one and nothing would get our attention and our love except Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Even when I've mentioned to you when I first got saved, the joy of having the Lord, and then the joy of being able to speak the Lord some to some of my friends. And my last year of high school, I was the captain of the football team, And I was surprised. My coach had never asked in the history of the high school. I was a captain, and I was in the middle of the huddle before we went out for the kickoff. And he looked down at me at the end of giving a long pep talk. And then he just asked me if I would lead the team in a word of prayer. And when he said that, I nearly fainted. I was not expecting it at all. Never happened, and I was nervous, and I just made up a prayer like, Lord, help us to play a good game. Keep us from any injuries. And I didn't even know. I prayed a few more sentences. I had no idea how to end, but when I ended, I went, Lord, you got to save the whole team the way you saved me.
Amen.
And when I said that, when I stood up, I felt energized to play 50 games. Woo! The honorable one was flowing through me. I just felt filled with this treasure, this earthen vessel. Ooh, wow! There was gold in there. And so the first game, I prayed then. They asked me to pray again at the halftime. So I did. Same thing. Nervous, didn't know what to do. And the prayer ended the same way. Then I thought we won the game. Everybody would forget about God. You don't need Him after a while, after you win. But one, a fellow who later played the NFL, he stopped everybody's, hey, Tay. That was my nickname. Hey, Tay. Let's pray. So in the locker room, we prayed, and I even remember a coach over there on his knees. And at this time, I was more relaxed. But I was thanking the Lord and still praying, Lord, save the team the way you saved me. Well, make a long story short, brothers and sisters, we ended up winning every game. So it can eventually think, hey, you're not too bad. Anyway, eventually, you can begin to think something about yourself that you should not think. We have this treasure in earthen vessels.
Amen.
That the excellency of the power should be of Him,
Amen.
Not of us. Anyway, I began to get misled related to this view of just being an earthen vessel, a vessel containing this honorable Jesus. And the Lord had to take me through some dealing to help me realize freshly, I am zero and He is the hero. He is the honorable one. And then I saw this in the mixture. Many, many people began to get promoted and things and movies and bands and what a mixture. So what happens is we become a vessel unto dishonor. So the Lord has to save us. And we become a mixture. We're filled with Christ. We have Christ. We've been redeemed. We have the gold in us. But we're in this mixture. And Christ cannot be testified. Now we need Roman numeral 2. Let's read that verse with a strong spirit. Go. If therefore anyone cleanses himself from these, he will be a vessel sanctified. Amen. Praise the Lord. I tell you, if therefore anyone cleanses himself from these, from being just a mixture with wooden and earthen vessels, promoting some organization, building up some organization, but not being the living body of Christ, we need to be cleansed from this kind of condition. Brothers and sisters, don't misunderstand. This doesn't mean that we hate any persons. Well, we have to be clear about this mixture. And we have to hate any mixture so that we could be the Lord's testimony in a pure way. He will be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared unto every good work. So there's honor. And then you have these words to help. Sanctified, useful, prepared. And as we are cleansed from this mixture, from this great house, from the deteriorated church to become the genuine church, then the Lord has a way to make us a vessel unto honor. So the Lord, over a period of time, over a number of years, helped me to realize I am in a mixture. And through the help of Brother Nee's writings and getting into the Word of God, I became enlightened. And the Lord gradually brought us under the revelation of the genuine church. And to be a person who realizes I am a vessel and I'm not here to be in a mixture. I'm here to be filled with Christ as the honorable one. So brothers and sisters, 42 years ago, the Lord led my wife and I into the church life. And for these 42 years, these are the happiest years of my life.
Amen.
Hallelujah! We're so happy in this lovely place, in the garden growing in His grace. There is no finer pleasure than to eat the living tree and to get the
living water into me.
Eat the living tree and get the honorable Jesus into me.
Amen.
We are vessels.
Amen.
Amen. Unto honor, not unto dishonor. So the Lord needs us to be in the proper position, caring for His testimony, the body of Christ, the genuine church life, and not for any mixture, so that He could fill us with Himself as the unique content. Now, letter A, to cleanse ourselves is to depart from unrighteousness as an outward evidence of the inward divine nature. That was what was happening. There was the inward divine nature within me wanting me to depart from this mixture. Get out of that mixture. Get out of the deteriorated church. Get into the genuine church where Christ and Christ alone, the Honorable One, is the unique content. The word "these" denotes the vessels unto dishonor, including those mentioned in verses 16 through 18. Brothers, would you read number one, and sisters, read number two. Okay, brothers with a strong spirit, go. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, we need to be those who don't tolerate any mixture. We never want to be a mixture. We never want to be part of the deteriorated church. We love every person, but we never want to be part of the deteriorated church, which is the issue of Satan's mixture. We want to be a vessel unto honor. Now, unto honor is a matter of nature. Sanctified is a matter of position. Useful is a matter of practice. And prepared is a matter of training. How about we read that sentence again and declare strongly all the words that are in quotes. Go. Unto honor is a matter of nature. Sanctified is a matter of position. Useful is a matter of practice.
And prepared is a matter of
faith. Now, brothers and sisters, what happens when you're in that mixture? And this is my experience. You open the door to the devil. You open the door to the devil. You open the door to the flesh. I have to tell you, when I was in that mixture, eventually, the relationship between the brothers and the sisters becomes very poor, very dangerous, very fleshy, very natural. And there's a lot that goes on that many people do not see. Everybody loves to be social, but if you're just social in a mixture, eventually it issues in serious sin and serious damage to our vessel. So this is why we need to take this word seriously, unto honor. The Lord wants us to stand against that mixture of the deteriorated church and take a stand to be the genuine church according to God's economy, where Christ is our life, our content, and our everything. We would be vessels unto honor,
amen,
full of honorable Jesus, not full of mixture, promoting the natural man, the fallen man, opening the door for all kinds of behavior to be cultivated and developed. Now, brothers and sisters, I think where I really want to spend my time is this next time, this next point. This is a verse. Let's read these two verses together from 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 and 4. Okay, ready? Go. For this is the will
of God, your sanctification.
Amen.
That you abstain from fornication, that each one of you know
let's read that again with a stronger spirit. Release your spirit when you're reading. Go. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. You abstain from fornication.
That each one of you know how to possess
his own vessel
in sanctification and honor.
Amen.
Amen.
So, brothers and sisters, both in Timothy and in Thessalonians, we need an inoculation against this disease of becoming a mixture. Against this disease that issues in vessels unto dishonor. And rather than the Lord having a testimony, Satan has his expression. Remember Matthew 13? This mustard seed was sown, should be a small plant, but eventually became a great tree with all kinds of birds. And basically it means all kinds of evil things have a place to lodge. Because we don't see clearly what's on the Lord's heart, and we don't see clearly that we are vessels unto honor. So we give room to the enemy. Open the door. And there is a mixture. And there is a great, great deterioration of the church. But thank the Lord for His recovery. Recovery is not the name of the church, the name of a movement. Recovery is the Lord's move to bring us back to Himself, back to His heart's desire in a pure way. Thank the Lord we could be in His recovery. Back to the genuine church. To be vessels unto honor. A man of God is a vessel unto honor. This is a great matter. So these verses, brothers and sisters, is very strong. For this is an inoculation against the poison. Satan, if he can't stop people from being Christians, he'll do everything to mess them up. If he can't stop the church, he'll do everything to mix it up. Satan's stratagem. Always working to do anything he can to frustrate God's economy. But a great inoculation against this mixture and against being a vessel unto dishonor is in these two verses. This is the will of God. What's the will of God? That you abstain from fornication. That each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. We should know how to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor. We as vessels are separated unto God so that we could be saturated with God. We as vessels are here to be filled with Him so that we could be a vessel unto honor. A vessel unto honor. What is one of the greatest things that Satan has done to bring in this deteriorated church? And what is one of the things that causes the most damage to the vessels? It's fornication. Fornication. So, brothers and sisters, this is an amazing verse. This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. What is sanctification? Sanctification is to be separated unto God from all other things. But sanctification also includes being saturated with God. The best way to be separated from everything is to be saturated with Him. To be saturated, separated unto Him, we want to be saturated with Him. This is the will of God, your sanctification. Your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. So, brothers and sisters, in Thessalonians and in Timothy, this is a great inoculation against the deteriorating poisoning of Satan working on God's people. So everybody that's happy to get inoculated, say amen.
Amen.
The Lord would preserve us to be the genuine church, and we'd be filled with Christ as our unique content to be vessels unto honor. Satan wants to fill these vessels with everything. And one main thing is fornication. One way to fill the vessel with everything evil is to get this vessel into fornication. But this little phrase is powerful. For this is the will of God.
Amen.
You know, can anybody tell me where that same little phrase is found? This is the will of God? Huh? You got it. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Let's speak it. Always rejoice, unceasingly pray, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. We don't take the way of fornication, we take the way of rejoice, unceasingly pray, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God. This is the will of God. This allows you to be filled with the Holy One. This allows you to be filled with the Honorable One. This gives you a good offense, a strong offense, so you have a healthy defense. You would not be involved in fornication. So, brothers and sisters, the way the world is today, anybody and everybody can be involved in fornication. The doors are wide open. And the enemy has used this for centuries and never before like today to deteriorate the church. But we need to see the will of God is your sanctification. That you abstain from fornication. That each one of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. The most damaging germ that damages the Lord's testimony over and over again is this germ of fornication. And this is the evil that Satan uses, the most subtle and evil thing that he uses to make the genuine church a deteriorated church. Okay, let's look at these numbers first of all. Number one, to be sanctified is to set apart, be set apart, separated unto God from things common or profane. And the best way to be set apart, to be separated, is to be saturated. If you want to be separated unto God, the best way is to be saturated with God. Always rejoice. Exercise your spirit. I tell you, practice to rejoice all the time. You'll be protected from fornication. There'll be no room in you. You'll be getting filled with honorable Jesus. You have a good offense. God's will is that His redeemed people, the believers in Christ, live a life of holiness according to His holy nature. A life holy, separated unto God from anything other than Him. Anything other than Him. Who is He? He's holy. Who is He? He's honorable. Let's be separated unto Him, to be saturated with Him, so that we would be vessels unto honor. And I'm telling you the truth, brothers and sisters, I grew up in this mixture. The Lord eventually got me out of this mixture. But we always have to hate this mixture. And that the enemy would ever want to bring us into this mixture. And that our mind, our thoughts every day would be under the influence of this age, which is an age of fornication. It's an age of fornication. So we want to be those who see the will of God, our sanctification, and we would be a vessel unto honor. I realize this is many years ago, not today's age. Brothers, today's it's intensified. But many years ago, 50 years ago, when I was in this system, I saw many dear brothers and sisters I love, but I saw what was happening behind the scene, the relationship, particularly between the male and the female. The enemy used it to damage many, many people. And even you can see some of the churches in the Bible, in the New Testament. Corinth, what happened? The fornication became a leaven that Paul had to be very strong to purge out. So brothers and sisters, especially today, we have to be on guard. This is a great, great matter. To keep or preserve man's vessel, his body, in sanctification and honor, not allowing it to indulge in the passion of lust, is the safeguard against committing fornication. Even every morning when you get up in the morning and you call on the Lord and you love the Lord, brothers and sisters, let's lay our hands on the beautiful head of Christ, meaning we practice to be one spirit with Him, exercising to identify with Him. Lord Jesus, You are the spotless one. You're the absolute one. I give You my spirit, my soul, my heart, and my body. Every part of me is to be filled with You.
Amen.
Oh, what a joy to begin our day consecrating everything to Him, taking care of the will of God,
Amen.
Which is your sanctification, to be saturated with Him and to be set apart unto Him. Fornication prevents man from being holy, separated unto God, and contaminates man to the uttermost in the fulfilling of God's holy purpose. Nothing frustrates God's holy purpose like fornication. So, brothers and sisters, we want to be those. We want to be those who are one with the Lord, one with one another, burdened for His testimony, and never giving any room to this mixture. But giving all of our attention to God's economy, in which Christ is the center, reality, and everything. And we would pray, Lord, have mercy on me to be protected from this subtlety of the snake, this craftiness, especially related to the matter of fornication. To abstain from fornication is not only to remain in a sanctified condition before God, but also to hold and keep a standing of honor before men. Amen. Did I read that already? Huh? Just now? Oh, yeah. Verse number 5. So, brothers and sisters, what I wanted to bring out right now is if you would look on page 70 in your excerpts, and I know you'll read these, but how about we read, let's read the paragraph, second paragraph on page 70, nothing damages. You see that? On page 70, is that correct? Page 70, okay, nothing. Ready, let's read that together with a strong spirit. Go. According to Paul's word in 1 Corinthians 6, Fornication ruins a person's body. Contaminates our entire being and makes us unholy. Moreover, fornication is used by God's enemy created for the fulfillment of his purpose. Therefore, fornication must be altogether abandoned. This is the reason Paul says in abstain from fornication. The word abstain is strong, and it indicates we should run away from fornication. God's will is to have us fully separated unto himself, wholly sanctified for the fulfillment of his purpose. This requires... Amen. Friends, sisters, let's read that sentence a little stronger. We just kind of read it. Let's read that last sentence again. Go. Amen. This is a strong word, but a very, very healthy word, a very helpful word, especially in this day and age when fornication is just running rampant. Now, brothers and sisters, look at this at the top of that paragraph. Fornication ruins a person's body. Other sins may damage us subjectively, but fornication damages our body, contaminates our entire being, and makes us utterly unholy. Brothers and sisters, this is a great matter. One of my favorite verses when I first got saved, and I love it even to today, is Romans 12:1. I beseech you, through the mercies of our God, that you would present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is your most reasonable service to God. And then it says, don't be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. But what's it say? Every day, present your body to the Lord. Because actually, what it implies is, when you present your body to the Lord, you're presenting your entire being. That's the key to your mind being transformed. That's the key to your spirit being living, released. Every day, present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. There's no joy and strengthening and encouragement like this every morning. Oh Lord, I present my body unto you. That means I am yours. And this is a great protection to us, especially from this matter of fornication. So, brothers and sisters, this is a serious word, but we need to hear this word. And we cannot beat around the bush, try to water it down. This is serious. We need to be on guard. Satan hates the church. We hate Satan.
Amen.
We love the church.
Amen.
Christ loved the church.
Amen.
We love the church.
Amen.
And we want the Lord to have his body, his testimony, his bride. And we want to be vessels unto honor.
Amen.
Now, brothers and sisters, letter E, a sanctified vessel is a useful, serviceable and profitable to the Lord Jesus Christ, our Master. Amen. And then we'll go to F. A useful vessel is one which is prepared for every good work through the doing of God's will. This is good. That the man of God may be complete, fully, what? Fully what?
Equipped.
Fully equipped for every good work. Fully equipped for every good work. Let's look at Hebrews 13:20 and 21 for a moment. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Could we read those two verses together with a strong spirit? Ready, go.
Now the God of peace, he who brought us from the dead, our Lord
Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, in the blood of an eternal covenant, perfect you in every good work. Jesus Christ. To him be
glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. What is his will? God's will is to fill. God's will is to fill.
Amen.
Fill you with nothing but Christ.
Amen.
To make you a vessel unto honor. Every day, we don't want to give the enemy any room. We're vessels. And the enemy's goal is to fill that vessel, damage that vessel. And the main way that he damages it in this age and all through the centuries is fornication. So we want to keep our vessel so that we are filled with him as the unique treasure, as the unique honorable one, so we could be a vessel unto honor. How about we read Roman numeral 3 with a very released spirit? Go. But flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love,
peace.
Here we go again. A man of God is somebody who flees. Somebody who pursues. Good defense and a good offense. And how do we do it? With those. I'm so glad I have those. I have a David those and a Charles those.
Amen.
Hallelujah for those.
Amen.
Flee.
Amen.
Pursue.
Amen.
With those.
Amen.
This is wonderful, saints. We must not only avoid the outward corruption, but also the inward lusts. One of the best ways to avoid the inward lust. We may not fall into outward corruption of fornication itself, but be saturated and full and occupied with inward lusts. So we must not only avoid the outward corruption, but also flee the inward lusts. That's a very good verse. Flee the youthful lusts. I remember speaking with Brother Lee one day about this matter of lust. And he said, even if you're 85, your lusts are still youthful. Youthful lust. Doesn't matter your age. The lusts are evil. Youthful lusts. So we would flee youthful lusts. Amen. We should pursue with other believers righteousness toward oneself, faith toward God, love toward others, and peace, which is the issue of the first three virtues. Brothers and sisters, what are we doing this week of training? Fleeing!
Amen.
What are we doing? Pursuing!
Amen.
Aren't you glad we're using a week? Look, what are we using this week for? We're pursuing with each other.
Amen.
Isn't this good?
Amen.
Pursue with each other. Let's read that whole sentence together. Be with a strong spirit. We should pursue with other believers. Righteousness toward God, love toward others.
And peace, which is the issue of the first three
virtues. Amen. That's why we're together this week. Not only to pursue the Lord, but pursue with each other.
Amen.
Pursue with those.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, our protection is also to be with those. Fleeing and pursuing together. We flee together. We pursue together. And then, C, to call on the Lord out of a pure heart is to name the name of the Lord in our prayer and praise to Him. The best way to get filled with this treasure, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The best way to get filled with this treasure is to call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. Call with those. Pure means when I call, I want Him. Oh, Lord Jesus! Mario! When I called that, when I called Mario, I want Mario. Ken!
Praise the Lord!
Right. When you call the name, you want the person. When I was a little kid, Mom! Charles! Look at that. Okay, everybody call somebody. You can call somebody around you. Saints, when you call in this way, you really want the Lord calling out of a pure heart. Flee youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Every time I call, I want Christ. And every time I call, oh Lord Jesus, guess what I get? I get Jesus.
Amen.
I'm getting Him right now.
Amen.
Oh Lord Jesus. Oh Lord Jesus. Oh Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus! Lord Jesus! Oh, Lord Jesus! The same Lord who's rich to all who call on Him. Same Lord who's over all, it's rich to all who call on Him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved from lust. Saved from this age. Saved from being a mixture. Saved to be the genuine church. Saved to be a vessel unto honor. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, Philippians 2, 10 and 11, let's conclude with those two verses. Read those, okay? Philippians 2, 10 and 11. God highly exalted His name, the name of Jesus. Now we pursue Him with those by calling on His name. Let's read 10 and 11 with a strong spirit. Go. That in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those who are in heaven and on earth. And every tongue
should openly confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen. Amen. Friends, sisters, how about we just do this? For 10 seconds, everybody bow your knee, get down on your knee, open your mouth wide and confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen.
Jesus
Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. So, brothers and sisters, this is a man of God, a vessel unto honor.
Amen.
Not to be filled with a mixture, but to be filled with the honorable Jesus as the unique content. So let's speak verse 22 again, 2:22. This is our protection. This is our way of going on. What is it? But flee and pursue righteousness.
What time is it?
What time is it?
11:55. Why don't we just
read the focus and then share with your neighbor. Stand up, read the focus and share with your neighbor.
Okay. How about we all stand up together? Let's all stand up together. First you kneel, now you stand. Let's read the focus together. And let's read that together. Go. A man of God is a vessel unto honor who cleanses himself from all unrighteousness
and flees youthful lust by pursuing Christ.
Christ with his companions to be sanctified,
useful to the master, prepared unto every good work.
Amen. And so now, just share with those around you, just share something you enjoyed.